Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back recording right after the fourth episode of Hard Knocks. That means there's one more, but we want to get reaction to that. And of course, all the cuts that occurred today. Cut day, it's a dark day in the NFL. A lot of guys losing their jobs, but we finally get some clarity on what the Lions coaching staff thinks of their roster. And there's no more preseason games, and the season's really going to start kicking off now. It's again, August 30th. Yeah. September is 2 days away. When we launch this, it'll be 1 day away. And yeah, football season's in full swing. We had some college football games. There's that Dublin game with Nebraska and Northwestern. If you have followed the Big Ten at all, Nebraska, Scott Frost, for the 21st time in the 30 losses he's had there, they lost by a single score. But anyways.
Go Wildcats.
I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest of Blue Kool-Aid crew. We got UJ.
Hey, everybody.
Red Dog.
Yo.
And Bob.
Hello, hello.
All right, gentlemen. So, as I mentioned, cut day is here. And the Lions made some interesting choices, although I wouldn't call them all surprising, per se.
No big ones, really.
Yeah, no real big surprises, I didn't think.
But nonetheless, I guess we can let's start at the wide receiver core, shall we?
No.
Let's do this.
So Lions,
I am $10 richer now.
Yeah. I'm sure Trinity Benson sleeps better now knowing you got $10 out of his loss.
But march to the hall continues, baby.
Yeah, Cephas made the roster, baby.
Yes,
no doubt in my mind. Anyway.
And some people thought he wasn't going to make it when we were going to take six.
Yeah, guys. Yeah, they took five receivers. That's what surprised me the most, I guess, that the number.
Yeah, that did surprise me, too.
That is a bit surprising.
Yeah, so no Trinity Benson, no Tom Kennedy, no Maurice Alexander, no Khalil Pimpleton. But Cephas sticks around. He survives the bubble cut, Red Dog.
Yep.
He thought he was on the bubble. That's the funny part.
It'll be interesting to see when Jameson Williams comes back, if they decide to stick with six wide receivers or not. I will be intrigued by
And there'll be plenty of season to shake out by then, you know. Who knows what the roster looks like as at large.
Yeah, Cephas might be hurt by then. He's what Zach Follett would call a China doll.
You're so negative, Bob.
Oh my God.
I mean,
let's stop.
What did he do
now
to you? Did he kick your puppy? What did he?
Sorry, I lost $10. That's all.
Did he spit in your cheeseburger? What happened here?
All right, let's move on.
Well, they did make some. Yeah. Let's move on, please.
So I mean, Tom Kennedy getting cut hurts a little bit just because he played well in the preseason.
Yeah.
Again. But he is limited athletically, and it's probably.
I just want to say.
Said that part. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. They asked Campbell. Last week, I think it was. What do you think of Kennedy? Because he's playing so great, and I was, he's reliable. He's just reliable. I go, and in the back of my mind, I'm thinking I really want Kennedy to make the team, but I could, that is not a ringing endorsement to me with the way Campbell said it. And I'm just like, oh man, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
Like I feel like you knew anyway. He was describing Kennedy in particular when he was giving that speech to the whole team about the two groups of guys in Hard Knocks, you know, like
the guy does everything right.
Yeah. Like that was, Kennedy, like, he does everything right, including producing when the time count comes to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're just like, you can't keep a space for a guy who's tiny, not all that fast.
Yeah, I think based on what Campbell was saying in that speech, I think Kennedy did everything he could. You know, it's just better physical ability.
Right, knocked him out. Right. And then, you know, as this team gets better and better, we're going to see more cuts like that. You know, players that we like. For whatever reason, you know, because, you know, being a Lions fan over the years, we've grown to like players just as certain players because the team wasn't much to root for. So we had to find solace in wherever we could, a guy we like. Oh, I like this guy. Yeah. You know, like the Zach Zenners of the world and people like that. But we're actually getting some talent on this team.
Plus, it's easy as a fan to just fall in love with that preseason production. You know, it's like, oh, look, he's at least doing something, right?
Yeah.
For sure. And it's a lot more exciting wide receiver core this year than we had coming into last year, for sure. DJ Shark, Reynolds, Amon Ross, Khalif Raymond.
Oh, yeah.
Quintez Cephas.
For sure. For
I like how you put Cephas behind Raymond at the very end.
Okay. Let it go.
Just reading off a list.
I'll never let it go.
Wow. Although Raymond was always safer than Cephas. But, anyways, quarterback Tim Boyle played horrendously. Against Pittsburgh, and that was the ones.
Yeah,
he played himself. That was horrible.
Played himself out of a job. I mean,
really bad.
Yeah.
It was just wow.
That made their decision a lot easier. I would imagine.
I'm kind of glad he did because I am kind of tired of watching him play. It's just painful.
How about on the sideline and Hard Knocks saw Campbell going? Yeah, should we put Blau into the ones now, man?
Yeah.
Fucking just do it. Oh, shit. That was the end right there, man.
He was pretty much done as soon as he was pulled, huh? I heard that somewhere else, but, I mean, it makes sense, right? As soon as you're pulled like that in that scenario, you're probably not on the team anymore, right? Like, it's just you were that bad. It was really interesting hearing his insights watching the game, by the way. That was.
Let me ask you guys, how hard do you think they're scouring the waiver wire for quarterbacks?
I think they absolutely are, but I don't know if there's a lot of great ones out there either. So
no, not
at least
lot,
Blau knows the system.
Yeah,
you know, people respect him in the building. Jared Goff gets along with him really well, which is important for like film sessions and stuff like that. So
yeah, it'd have to be a real obvious guy, like a real obvious upgrade, where you're just like, this guy's so much obviously better than David Blau that it's a no-brainer. Other than that, like if it's like a shades of difference where you think this guy might be better, I think you keep that continuity, that chemistry, and you know, who knows what kind of magic he could capture in a successful season if, like, you know, Goff went down for a few games.
Yeah, didn't the Cowboys cut both their backups? I think so. Yeah, no backups.
I think they did. There's a few out there that are interesting, though. Carson Strong from Nevada.
Yeah, that was the one I was thinking of.
Who was originally considered a first-round pick and fell. I think he was undrafted, actually.
Yeah, the only problem with him is I think he needs even more development because he's.
Yeah, yeah, right. No, I'm just saying there's interest. There's a few interesting.
Yeah, he'd be cheap. You know, he was undrafted, so he'd be really cheap.
Yeah.
But, and you're right. Yeah, the Cowboys did cut their all their backup quarterbacks. So.
Who are they?
Cooper Rush, Will Greer, and Ben DiNucci.
Oh, yeah. Those guys totally get me excited to replace David Blau.
I know. Anyway, I don't think this is any surprise here either. So.
You know, someone made a good point, too, I heard somewhere else. I think it was like Woodward Sports or something. They said, you know, it doesn't really matter all that much. Like, we're getting hung up on the backup quarterback, but really when you consider it, like,
well, 90, it matters when you saw last year what happened.
Like 90% of the teams in the NFL, maybe more, are screwed if their starting quarterback goes down. There's not a team that's like,
why do we have to be the 90% though? Why can't we?
I'm just saying it's the vast majority, if not all teams, are pretty much screwed with the starting quarterbacks go down. I'm just saying it's not a huge deal Like,
I don't remember. I remember Carson Wentz went down and
that's like the exception.
Won a Super Bowl.
Nick Foles
was
the exception to the rule. He's the exception
Jimmy G
that
just got
the rule.
Jimmy Garoppolo just got paid a lot to be the backup quarterback the 49ers.
I'm not saying
they don't value it.
Gardner Minshew is probably the most coveted backup in the NFL. You could probably start on
exactly. It's good to have one when you got a really good one, but like they're very rare. And like I'm saying, David Blau is not the worst we could do. And like,
I personally
I'm just pointing out here. I mean, it's an important argument still about the backup quarterback. It's the most important position in the sport. So
no, but you got to look at
backup quarterback.
You got to look at where the Lions were coming into this season. I'm glad they didn't spend any draft capital on another quarterback.
Me too.
I am too.
You know, going forward, you know, they might find
somebody. Bailey Zappi.
Yeah, but you know, that's right. But I don't know. I think they're doing the right thing right now in the quarterback position. Maybe next year they'll look at it differently.
Yeah,
I'm fine with this.
I still think they're on the, you know, they're looking long term. I know they want to win now, but I still think it's a long game they're playing.
Absolutely.
So,
for sure. So at running back, the Lions go with four guys: DeAndre Swift, Jamal Williams, Craig Reynolds, and then Jamar Jefferson. Again, still sticking on the roster. Jamar Jefferson. How about that?
Yeah.
That was a little shocking to me. I thought Igbike would make it. I thought Jefferson would be the odd man.
A lot of people thought Justin Jackson would be on there too.
Well, he looked much more impressive and was more productive, I believe. Than what do you guys think? Like Campbell was looking for out of Jefferson in that game. I don't know how much you all saw, but like the freaking that one screen or draw play where he converted on 3rd and 17. I'm wondering if that wasn't the play that they were like, all right, this kid's in. Like, he made that some nice cuts and, you know, made a huge play and an important, you know.
I'm sure that helped, I would think, man. You know,
I'm just, because, like, I watched him also block really poorly in this game where he took on a block really high with bad technique and let up a pressure, if not a sack, I can't remember. But I'm just curious because I was honestly, I think a lot of people were surprised that Jackson didn't make this roster over Jefferson based on their performances in these games. Like it seemed like he was fading and on the very edge of the bubble, but then like he passed like Igbuki and Jackson at the end.
That just seemed to be the impression from most of the press I was reading too. So
I think there's like his ceiling as a running back. I still think they think highly of him. I remember they drafted him. So I think Brad Holmes really likes keeping the guys that he's drafted.
That's true.
At
least based on how
they've
operated
for him.
I was listening to Detroit sports radio today, and they mentioned that draw play, that 3rd and 17, and they said, as a Lions fan, don't we always give up that play? You know, like in historically, we think we have them held back, and then
they absolutely draw.
That's funny.
Fourth and 20 against the Ravens.
It's a new era, though. Let's push that all in the past.
Yeah, it's a new
era. We actually did that pretty successfully quite a bit last year, the draw for conversions on 3rd and long.
Definitely a surprise at running back. But again, that's the bottom of the roster. Jamar Jefferson, you know, by all accounts, improved on special teams. So that probably helped his cause as well. But I don't know. I bet Justin Jackson gets picked up somewhere else.
He should put some good tape out there with us.
Yeah.
So tight end, no surprise. Hockenson, Brock Wright, James Mitchell, Zane Zylstra. Zylstra would probably play like H back as well as Brock Wright while Jason Kamen is on the pup list. No surprise there. So let's move to offensive line.
Wait.
What?
They
cut Devin Funchess, but I don't think a lot.
Say Mitchell?
Yeah, Mitchell's on.
Yeah, so James Mitchell.
Yeah.
I thought he was kind of a surprise because I have not seen anything from him.
Like, I don't think he's much of a surprise, though.
So.
I mean,
you think they're just protecting their draft pick then?
I do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I didn't see much of him. Obviously, we don't see practice either.
Well, they're not going to give up on him this soon, you know. I mean, they just drafted the kid fairly high, and they're you know. They're looking for him to do something. I don't think they're going to give up on him for a while.
He's been practicing, right? Like, because he came in with that injury and whatnot.
Right.
Yeah, he's been practicing.
I don't know. I thought I was a little surprised.
Okay, now this next group.
All right. So, Decker, Jonah Jackson, Ragnow, Big V, Sewell, then the backups, Matt Nelson, Evan Brown, Tommy Kraber, and There's a. I can't read. Can you help me read the last one, UJ?
Logan Stenberg. Hey, yeah, man. I told you he was gonna make it. Hey, listen, I just gotta pat myself on the back a little bit here, okay? I put myself out there a little bit. I said Josh Woods, and I said Logan Stenberg would make this team, and a lot of naysayers said he wouldn't, and they did. So, you know, anyway, I think Stenberg was just looking really too good at the last couple of games to let him go. I think he's starting to come around. So I was happy to see him make the team.
Yeah, one of the highest graded guards in the league in the preseason. A lot of it just comes from the run game. So.
Yeah.
You got to love his upside with that massive size.
Oh, yeah. Especially as a backup. Oh, exactly. At least he can do one good thing. Like, a lot of backups can't do one good thing at all. So, true. If he can be at least a good run blocker and, you know, get some help in the last game.
I got to throw props in here to Brad Bearman, too, okay? Our beat writer and sideline report. Okay. I read all these projections of rosters, you know, especially from Pride and a couple other ones, you know, and none of them, okay, had Josh Woods or Stenberg making the squad. Brad Bearman picked those guys to make it, okay? Bearman, I'm just telling you, he went against the grain a little bit. He thinks for himself. He doesn't go with the crowd. Props to you, Brad. Right. Way to go, buddy. Way to go. Anyway, I just had to throw that out.
Did you just compliment yourself by complimenting Brad Bearman?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Thank you.
Well done. Stenberg's well really exciting, though, if you can ever fill out the pass protection part of his game. Yeah. I mean, Big V's expensive next year too. And the Lions can save a lot of money on the cap next year by cutting him, perhaps. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to see him develop and maybe into a starter.
Yeah. The longer he sticks around and gets to keep doing his thing here, the better chance he develops into what we need him to be. So
just how much keep making the roster. Position. How much you love this group, though? I mean,
I love it.
It's good and it's deep too. It's I like it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That means Obina Easy of and Dan Skipper do not make it to Easy obviously from Hard Knocks, and then Skipper's been around for a little bit on the Lions. On and off that, the practice squad.
It hasn't been the same since he got back from Gilligan's Island.
There you go. There's your last.
Yeah, I had to throw it out there.
All I want to say is Easy had to be an easy cut because. That boy is offering baby shit. He was just getting whooped by Pittsburgh's, you know, backups. And I know Hard Knocks dramatized a little bit, but as an O-lineman, it's offensive to watch your guy just, like, get beat up multiple times in a row and that, like, lazy half, like, go down, like, don't even really try to pick him up thing. He just kind of, like, puts his hands on his back, like, hey, I'm sorry. And then, like, he just gets up front. Like, that's just so, like, it was cringy to watch for me as an O-lineman. So, good cut right there.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think anybody expected him to make the roster.
No, I don't think so.
Camp body.
He does look, like, way behind in as far as technique, you know, from the rest of the guys.
Yeah,
right.
Way behind. Way behind.
Looks like Tarzan plays like Jane, right? Massive body. Like, if he developed and some toughness and, you know, actual grit. Who knows what, you know, his.
I mean, he could be a
is.
Practice squad candidate, though. I mean, if they do see something in him.
His upside
future,
might
know.
Be huge.
And he's terrible at telling jokes. The joke in Hard Knocks.
Oh, my God. It was brutal.
It was the jugular one or juggle. Yeah, it was no good.
What are you doing? A bunch of clowns are attacking you?
Go for the juggler.
Yeah. I just don't know if you'll ever develop the grit.
He didn't deliver it well either. You had to deliver.
No, he didn't deliver.
But he
the
gave
juggling.
Them the
no.
transition to Pimpleton juggling, getting juggling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thanks for that. That was your contribution.
Watch, we'll see Pimpleton on America's Got Talent next year.
I hope so. I think he'd be a good practice squad.
Yeah, tech. I do. I think so, too.
I agree.
His upside's there.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
just too raw still.
But that drop at the goal line, I mean, that's what we saw in the practice film, too. Drops in practice.
He could be a dangerous little weapon in a really solid offense. You know, just need a little change of pace guy out there.
Right.
I think it'd be good.
Yeah. I really like the cold, hard reality of that last preseason game when Campbell's saying, you know, all you can do is put these guys out there and give them a shot.
Yes.
Either do it or they don't. Like literally their careers were coming down to like one play or one drop or one catch. And, you know, and it's so cold and hard, but I mean, it's just the reality of it. It was kind of neat seeing that side of it.
Absolutely.
You know, how serious a business that is. I know it's a game and all that, but man, it's serious business and a lot of money on the line. And
right.
It's really serious.
And can you imagine you're like getting close to these people for like a few months just to like have to be like, hey,
yeah,
better luck next year.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of like the coaches said earlier too, they're auditioning for the rest of the NFL too, not just for the Lions. So
yeah,
you never know.
And their openness and raw truth, I think, is the way to go. You know, they don't paint it up with sunshines and rainbows at all. Like, they keep reminding them of the actual reality they're facing.
Yeah. I like the thing where they went around the coaching room and they like the position coach,
yes,
and
yeah,
they list other guys, yes, and the coordinator. And then we got to see Ben Johnson. Like,
thank you.
Ben Johnson
sighting. It's crazy.
Benny.
There was a Ben Johnson sighting. He did get some lines in there.
But I thought that was a cool meeting to get to look in on, and we only got to see a little bit of it kind of edited, but
it was. That was a really interesting movie.
All those little quotes, like you're trying to guess who they're referring to.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, if I ever get fired from anything, I want Camel to fire me. It'd be like, it'd be awesome to be fired by
him.
Well,
we'll see it next week, what it's like to be fired by him. So.
Yeah.
I respect you, brother. He just says all these great things. Like, you feel good about yourself, even though you just got shit can, you know? Like,
what if what if he shocks us all?
I
just
get fired, but I feel great.
Goes completely opposite, and it's just like,
what's that, Road Dog?
I said, what if he just shocks us all and goes completely opposite, and it's just like, dude, you were just like a total piece of shit while you were here, and just fuck off.
Won't happen. Won't happen.
Yeah, I don't think that.
I know. Come on. Kidding.
I think that's so off the charts.
Who even thinks of stuff like
oh
that?
Oh my.
My God.
I do, obviously. Yeah,
Oh boy.
All right.
I ask questions you need to know the answers to already.
Okay.
Defensive line, interior. Michael Brockers, Aleem McNeil, Levi, and Udzurike still on there. Isaiah Bugs and Demetrius Taylor.
Yeah.
Demetrius Taylor makes it as an undrafted rookie free agent, the only one to make the roster with that designation this year.
Do you notice that kept our streak going for 13 seasons in a row? The Detroit Lions have kept an undrafted rookie.
Oh, no, I didn't
realize
that. No.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Crazy.
I didn't either. That's awesome, actually.
Another observation about this D-line, there is only one man over 300 pounds on this defensive line.
Mm.
Yeah, we were talking about that
before. Aleem McNeil.
Yeah.
Like, I think Pennacini definitely would have made this roster.
Oh, yeah.
The way it's made up. But they could probably use some blood in the pants. And, in fact, this is one spot where I think I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little bit of a move here where we sign a like a nose tackle or something. But I like the explosive profile of this D-line nonetheless.
Hey, let me,
and speed will make up for a
there
lot.
There was two things in Hard Knocks related to the defense I just want to bring up real quick.
When
in the game when Hutch is saying to Harris, he's like, you know, we're elite, man. We're elite, you know.
And that was good.
Awesome. And then I like the one part where Campbell's just like walking, you know, during the game, I don't know what was going on the field. He's like, we've got a defense. Like, he's like, yes. He's like, we have one. You know, like, he's like, yeah, this is working, what we're doing.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
That was encouraging stuff.
That was
there.
Awesome.
Exciting.
But I mean, on the Hutch thing, just for a second, though, I mean, I can't help but keep marveling at this guy, his sheer effort. When they did that scene with the long practice of hitting and all that stuff, and he's like, my legs, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I got nothing in my leg. And they're giving it all, man. I mean, they're putting it all out there. And Hutch is, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was a little disappointed. He showed weakness there, complaining about his leg.
That means he gave it all, brother.
No,
that's
awesome.
That's all about.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he continued to, like, be everything we thought he could be and more. So it's just awesome.
Yeah. When he was jawing with the Pittsburgh guy, and I think it was the first play of the game. Like, oh, I almost got you, man. Yeah, oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
It's funny. He's a rookie. All right. Yeah. This is great.
Oh, yeah. This guy
so
is
great.
He's right at home in the league.
Yeah, he's going to be great to watch.
Kind of like Sewell was last year, jaw jacking, you know, with Aaron Donald and stuff. Like,
oh, yeah.
Those guys transition so naturally. They're already, you know, they're still amongst the cream of the crop, even as they make the transition to the next level.
Did you see Aaron Donald in the joint practice with the Bengals last week?
Yeah.
Swinging two helmets at Bengals players.
Yeah.
He did what?
He had two helmets in his hand and was swinging them at the players. But
he pulled a Myles Garrett.
Yeah, but he won't get suspended. It's just weird.
It's because he's Aaron fucking Donald. You don't suspend the best player in on the defensive side of the ball in the entire NFL.
They should, though.
I mean, Myles Garrett's probably in a top five, probably.
So. Yeah, but he's not the one. No, that's crazy. Though. Wait, like, so, like, was one was his helmet? Where did he get the other?
No. They're both Bengals helmets.
Yeah, they're both Bengals helmets.
Oh, that's even better.
There's like this photo of
like
him.
He took their helmets.
There's him in like this, like in like offensive, like his knees are bent, his arms are back, and he's holding the two helmets, like looking like he's gonna go to war. And like the rest of the, there's like 30 people around him. It looks like he's in a battle. It was actually a really good photo by whoever took it.
Yeah, and the Bengals heads are still in it. that's the thing.
Anyways, interior defensive line. The two cuts were Deshaun Cornell, late round draft pick who's been hanging around Lions for a while. He looked promising early,
I thought
in
he
camp,
would.
But released. And Bruce Hector, another guy that stuck around for a little bit.
Put up a valiant effort.
Edge rusher Aiden Hutchinson, obviously Charles Harris, Julian Aquara is still sticking around, although we haven't seen much of him at all in the offseason. Still hurt. Austin Bryant, who that's someone to get really excited about. And then John Kaminsky, the last edge rusher.
Absolutely.
James Houston and Eric Banks get cut. James Houston, some thought maybe he could make it, but alas, he did not.
Yeah.
But a decent edge rusher group. Obviously, the two starters, and then Austin Bryant, Aquara. We'll see if something can come of him. I mean, Romeo Aquara, I haven't mentioned, but he's on the
list for now. Isn't Julian being cross-trained at like linebacker too or something? I believe he's being like trained as like a Sam or something.
He played some linebacker last year, didn't he?
Yeah, like they're cross-training him. So I'm very curious to see how they're going to use guys like him and how this defense is going to, like, I know they're a 4-3 base now, but this isn't going to be, you know, Jim Schwartz's wide nine, all obvious four down linemen, three linebackers. Like, This team has a lot of versatility, so I'm very curious to see how they use some of our more versatile pieces. Like, we already got a glimpse of how they moved Hutch up and down the line during, you know, the preseason, and that's going to have some, I think, tremendous results, you know, inside those quicks. But it's just going to be really interesting to see what they do with some of their more versatile pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. It's an interesting You know, he's got to be out there, though. He's got to be healthy at some point, hopefully.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They
sure
think he'll be
what
back.
What is with the Aquara? Something in the blood, you know, injury prone.
They think he'll be back for game one, so they're saying. So.
Julian Aquara?
Yeah, Julian. And supposedly, he should be back for the Philly. That's what they're saying, but we don't know.
If he is,
for sure,
we might not see too much of him.
I'm also curious about Anzarike. Awunzarike, however
you say it. I got a bad feeling about that one. Just everything you read, it just doesn't sound like he's going to be coming back soon. I wouldn't even be surprised to see him go on a pup or something and make a roster move, bring in another tackle somewhere.
Not on an injury spot right now.
Well, I mean,
I thought they said he might play the first game. That he was
Amuze?
Yeah.
Rike?
Yeah.
So there's some interesting
language. Where are you hearing that, though, Bob? Because I haven't seen that.
Disregard it.
There's some interesting language to unpack around the nature of his injury, because apparently him not practicing isn't because he's experienced setback, according to Dan Campbell, but because his progress is slow. So he's still on track. He hasn't been set back.
Yeah.
His injury is on course. So maybe they're just handling with kid gloves to make sure he's 100% ready, not unlike, you know, where Jameson is, but he's closer to being ready than Jameson is, obviously.
Right.
So
the point is, he's not going to be out there in the beginning.
I don't know.
And who knows how long.
He might show up sooner than that, but the point is, he's on a trajectory. It hasn't been set back. It's close. So, I mean, I think that's a distinction worthy of note. And the fact that he's on the active 53-man roster suggests that, I mean, you don't keep a guy on a roster if you don't expect him to contribute soon. Like, well, there's injuries and stuff. There's designation.
He was a high draft pick. It's his second year. There's no way he's not making the team. I mean, he's too talented to let go.
Yeah,
I mean, I know the
injury
thing.
Are they maxed out or something? Can they not put him on IR or PUP? They obviously expect him to come back if he's on the 53.
The fickle.
We just have to see how it plays out. I just don't see him playing the beginning of the season, though, personally.
Hey, guys, can I just throw in a quick aside here? Because talking about valuable draft pick, did you guys see Alex Leatherwood got released? He was the...
Yeah, former first-round draft pick of last year, right?
Yeah.
With the Raiders?
Yeah, with the Raiders. I know you did like him coming out of college, right? Leatherwood, but he was not making it.
Wouldn't be a bad backup, although...
But he was terrible, in the preseason, I guess.
Oh, yeah, he's horrible.
Yeah.
What is he?
He's a lineman.
Who's Leatherwood? You guys are just... I don't know who you're talking about. What position does he play?
He was the 17th pick. What is his actual position? Let me see.
Z, what position does he play?
I'm confirming. I believe, yeah, he's a tackle with the.
Leatherwood. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a first round draft pick with the Raiders last year.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's a tackle. Yeah, and I guess he's like a revolving door in the.
I don't think we need to take shots on guys like
he's
that.
He's 6'5", 312.
You'd certainly wait till he clears waivers if you wanted to take a shot at
a Mike Mayock draft pick. Which has not turned out well at all.
Yeah.
You can go back to making a draft list that will no longer be respected. Okay.
Yeah. What's next?
So, next group, linebacker, Anzalone, Derek Barnes, Rodrigo, Chris Board, and Josh Woods. The two cuts, Jarrod Davis, so we no longer have to talk about him anymore, and Anthony Pittman.
I'd just like to address that I misspoke based on something I misheard last podcast that when I said that Josh Woods was cut already. It was someone else I was talking about, but obviously he is not cut.
I think the slight surprise there was Pittman, though, because a lot of people thought Pittman was going to be making this roster.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's any surprise there, I think that'd be it.
But man, and the Hard Knock, I mean, the star of Hard Knocks is probably Malcolm Rodriguez.
Without a doubt.
This year.
Guys.
No brainer.
And he's got that weird, like, he's always smiling face.
Kind of reminds me of Sean Williams Scott, like that, like, weird energy and that intensity.
He'll be a great, like, assassin in movies or something like that. He's smiling.
Yeah.
Like, kills you. You know, like,
his little brother looks like he's yak, too.
Yeah. Like a spitting image of him.
And, I mean, they showed him in this game filling the hole, doing his job. Yeah. It's exciting.
I feel more comfortable. I already feel more reliable with him in there than Alex Anzalone in filling gaps and making tackles.
I agree with that. It's hard to disagree.
Yeah. And then on the plus side of that locker room, too, I think Derek Barnes is trending in the right direction. The way he came out at the end.
Yes.
So he might actually be the guy we think he is, you know, so we wanted him to be. So that would be awesome.
I really noticed him on a couple of plays there, Bob, during the game where he came in the backfield and made some run stops solo.
Yes. That would be exciting to have two young linebackers that were like playing really well.
Plus he likes that band ABCD.
Yeah.
Whatever. Did you see that at the end of Hard Knocks?
The whiplash from the band?
He says, yeah, you know the song is AC/DC or something. ABCD or something.
I didn't see that part.
Rodrigo's laughing at him like, hey, man, you hear what he just said? Yeah. Man, I don't listen to rock. To Barnes. I don't know. I just love that little shit in the song.
I really like them as like kind of staples for our future, which is why I almost feel like Anzalone and Board are kind of competing for that other spot in a way.
Well, I think Anzalone's going to play a ton, but I think Board...
No, I think he's going to he has the inside edge, but if he's missing tackles like he was last year, I just don't see how if Board, you know, can play better. But like the thing is, he has to improve. He's been given a benefit of the doubt thus far. Like I really do like a lot about him, but he can't be missing tackles at the rate he did last year. That just would not be acceptable.
Has anybody really seen what Board has offered? I mean,
not a whole lot.
I think what he offers the most is special teams. I think that's where we're going to see him the most effective.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's where he made his name. But he's supposed to be on like a development trajectory to be playing some significant defense at this point.
Yeah,
in his career.
But Rodrigo passed him. I think Board's going to be doing special teams.
He passed everybody.
Yeah. So
what a gem that pick was.
Oh yeah.
I'm so curious to see him play.
I think Anzalone's here for one more year, then they go out and maybe in free agency get like an elite linebacker to compliment Barnes. And
You're just trying to make me feel good. There you go. That sounds awesome.
Well, here's the thing: Anzalone has a chance this year. If Anzalone like turns his hustle into true production, like, hey man, he's got the potential. He just has to put it all together.
Yeah, I like his hustle. I like his energy on the field. But yeah, like last year, just too many missed tackles and such. Yeah, he has to work on that, hopefully.
And he claims this scheme is going to help him with that because of the attacking nature. He says that helps eliminate some of those mishaps.
It doesn't stop
and
think.
Hey, man, I hope it works.
It's just react and move. Just go.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So two more position groups, cornerback and safety. So cornerback, Awarie Okuda, Will Harris, Bobby Price, Mike Hughes, and Chase Lucas. So that means cut is Cedric Boswell, AJ Parker, Jerry Jacobs, Savion Smith, and Mark Gilbert. So some people
Jerry
thought
Jacobs is protected.
Moving to reserve pup. Fair.
Don't be scaring me like that. Jerry's coming back.
Yeah. Some people thought Savion Smith had a shot at the roster and AJ Parker. Nice. But alas, AJ Parker contributor last year.
That was one of the more surprising ones. Parker.
Probably the biggest Parker surprise in the whole cuts for me.
And Parker?
Yeah. He showed some real promise last year as an undrafted guy. Like
he did. He did.
I would imagine Chase Lucas
he looks so promising.
Oh yeah. And I don't know, it's since the last pod, I think, but that Okuda is the starter, which is cool.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and I'm really glad to see that. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of the draft pick at the time and obviously he's been through a lot and hasn't shown anything, but I'm happy for him and I'm happy for the team. If he comes out and plays like he's supposed to, then this is going to be a bonus for this team. I'm telling you, it's gonna be great.
Yeah, that's the nature of being a fan, right? Like you can be down on the pick, but that doesn't mean you're not like yearning for it to succeed, right?
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, right.
I didn't think he was the right guy, but man, I really hope he turns into every bit of what you would hoped it for at number three. And hey, the fact that he's out there fighting, competing is just so encouraging because, I mean, the thing about him, I think, is like he's supposed to be a pretty cerebral guy, right? And maybe he never turns into that lockdown, but if he can just be like a real tough, brainy cornerback that makes plays out there, that would be really awesome.
No doubt. It sucks to see AJ Parker go, but that's okay. I am excited about Lucas.
Yeah, me too.
He's so scrappy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he seems to be around the ball a lot, you know? He's a guy that just has a nose for the ball. He got the onside kick in that last game, too. I like the, you know, taking the knee, accepting the ball from the ref.
Yeah,
that was pretty good. Hey, can I keep the ball? Can I keep it, man?
Honestly, the one thing happened, last week, though, when he jumped that route, that got...
Ball,
yeah. That's why he's on defense.
No, but I think his upside is too huge to let him go. Even if he's just a rookie going through some pains, but I think he's going to grow into something good with this team. So,
and perhaps AJ Parker gets cut because they went deep at safety. Tracy Walker, Deshaun Elliott, Ife Melifonwu, Kirby Joseph, and Juju Hughes. They cut CJ Moore.
Yeah.
CJ Moore is a guy that's kind of been around, he's like a special teams contributor emergency.
Yeah.
Fill in. Past couple of years, so
yeah,
I don't know. I kind of read that along with sort of like the, you know, Kennedy cut as they're not just looking for old reliable. They're looking for something more. They're looking for dangerous. They're looking for, you know, something that's gonna really just something gritty, powerful, explosive, and you know that's why I think they're moving on from guys like that. Because they're reliable, they're sturdy, but they're not necessarily producing the upside.
That's actually a good point.
The young
guys
and some of these
other looking
guys
for something, something above and beyond reliable and safe.
Yeah.
No, I think it's a very good point.
Yeah, I think last year reliable gets you on the roster, but now we're a little better this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
No doubt. No doubt. And then, Jack Fox, punter, obviously, Scott Daly, long snapper, and Austin Siebert wins the kicking job, unsurprisingly.
Is this year two of the Scott Daly, you know, career, 20-year career, mm-hmm. whatever? Is it a long snapper? Yeah.
Hey, John Mulbeck Jr.
Yeah, the next, the Mulbeck Award for the, I don't know.
I mean, until it's time for him to get a new contract, perhaps, yeah.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I think it seems like by cutting Mulbeck, the Lions believe, like, all right, let's get a little cheaper at long snapper, since a lot of people can long snap. It's not important. Right. Don't need to spend $1 million here, but we can spend $500,000.
Yeah.
Cutting Don Mulbeck is a sign that the Lions are no longer going to be marked by their most interesting position being their long snapper.
Also true.
Very true. Very true.
So that's a 53-man roster. As of now, you know, some things change. Like, somebody gets cut and they drop one of these guys and sign that person. But that's how it stands right now, at least. So
generally, I just as a general question to you guys, are you fairly happy with the 53-man roster after everything we've seen this preseason?
Yeah, I'd say I am.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you know, my predictions came true, but I mean, they kept the guys I like. But besides that, like, everyone they kept is exciting for some reason or another. And, you know, they cut some tough ones, but I mean, this roster looks exciting and ready to make something happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited too. I think we're going to see improvement on both sides of the ball. So I'm hyped for this team. Mm.
I agree.
Oh, yeah. You know, we drink the Kool-Aid here, UJ. We're excited about the decisions that they make.
Yeah, we drink the Kool-Aid. Man, I drink a lot of Kool-Aid.
Honestly, the hardest cut I have a problem. Steepest, so I'm just glad that didn't happen.
I think I have a problem.
Yeah.
A Kool-Aid problem.
All right, 53-man roster. So let's move to some hard knocks. Just a few things. The first thing I noted was that I just thought it was cool. Like, Campbell has this sheet of white that comes down over his wall where he has the roster decision. Oh, yeah.
How cool is that? How cool is that?
Yeah.
It stuck out to me.
This is top secret shit, man.
Yeah, that was cool.
I thought that was funny. We finally got to see the player run practice. I don't know if we got all of what we wanted to see out of that.
Wasn't the most photographic thing, I guess.
Yeah, the Jared Goff comments were funny, though. Like, he said who...
Finally seeing him.
He's coaches. Yeah, so he sorry was... Sorry for swearing. You know, everybody's Tracy cursing Walker all over this show.
Hey, Tracy Walker sticking the card in his pants. Hey, look like a coach now. I look like a coach.
Hey, just a little bit on Goff here, since you brought him up. UJ, I want to bring this up in part because... In all those nice slow motion shots, did you notice anything about
that? Yeah, he threw spirals.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I noticed.
Oh, and it was beautiful.
He was throwing a lot of spirals.
Am I missing something here?
Well,
because last year,
go ahead.
How often did he throw a spiral last year in the season? Like, hardly ever.
No.
He threw wobblers all the time.
This is a UJ thing. Throw a lot of spirals.
This is true. A UJ thing. He loves the aesthetics of the spiral, and who can blame him?
Oh, really? I do.
You should have been rooting harder for Tim Boyle. He
like,
throws
you know,
spirals.
He loved that about Stafford.
I loved his
he
spiral.
Felt like we were losing something with Stafford, but like, and I grant it, you know,
Stafford
throws
threw the
more,
best spiral. Well,
I mean,
in the history
yeah,
I say the wobblier the better.
But hey, all I'm saying is Goff was throwing some damn tight spirals.
Oh yeah,
they look.
He was. He was dropping some dimes, man. He looks so confident. I'm so excited to see what he's going to do this year. And they better keep him healthy, man. They better keep
him
I
love hearing that behind
I like the
scenes
way they
coach talk.
They're trying to tailor the game to him, too, which is
going
to be awesome.
Yes.
I'm excited to see it.
Yes, Ben Johnson is in the
Stafford
sighting.
Was this close to
Ben
getting
Johnson
handed
sighting.
This
it
kind
was interesting
of, like,
to see a couple
this
of players
come.
When St. Brown caught that touchdown pass, he goes, hey, you're a genius, go. You're a genius, Ben. Way to
oh,
go.
Yeah. Good that was call. Cool.
Yeah.
So, like that, you know. So obviously they respect what he's doing.
In the back of mind, like, they don't know real genius. They didn't meet Matt. They haven't met Matt Patricia yet.
Oh boy. Who is now the offensive coordinator for the Patriots?
Undetermined. And then it's like he's not officially an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, they put him and Joe Judge in charge of the offense, and they look hapless. Apparently,
two disgraced head coaches.
Apparently, they look worse now with those guys.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. But anyways, Craig Reynolds, I thought it was funny, that, you know, Dan Campbell saying, like, that guy looks like Craig Reynolds' dad.
Yeah, that was good, too.
They do
that
look funny. Similar, so.
Yeah.
They definitely resemble each other, for sure. Yeah, I mean, besides everything else that we mentioned during our discussion, was there anything else from Hard Knocks that caught your attention? I did want... There was one thing that was not Hard Knocks related. During this game, there was like a great block by five of the offensive linemen in this week.
Yes.
I retweeted on our Twitter account too, at Drinking Lions, but someone was breaking down, I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head. He breaks down offensive line film.
Baldinger or whatever.
Yeah, yes, thank you. And everybody mauls their guys off the line. Who's the one guy that doesn't make their block?
Hockenson.
On the backside? TJ Hockenson. Costs them probably a 30-yard, 40-yard run.
But they blew that upsetting Pittsburgh line back 5 yards. It was incredible. You're right, Z.
It's upsetting. I you know, TJ Hockenson's supposed to be... that was TJ Watt, but, I mean, TJ Hockenson's supposed to be... This is what he's supposed to be good at, blocking. And it's still frustrating to see that he's...
He will be. Don't worry about it. Talent. It's coming this year.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
I hope so. I hope you're right. It caught my eye this week. I haven't been able to see.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Anyways, any other last comments?
Yeah, just one thing. I mean, I like this. I love the behind-the-scenes stuff. And I love getting the personalities of the players. When they had the food trucks come out,
yep,
and Aleem go, chop the tail, chop the tail. I eat that shit. It was just
is
funny.
That even
like,
meat?
Was,
or, yeah, what is
that? Yeah, what is that? I thought that part was pretty funny.
Yeah, I thought we'd be seeing a little more of him actually, because he's known as a pretty big personality on the team.
One other question. Big Z, you know the answer to this. Where's Catstown?
Is that Pennsylvania? Kutztown?
It's somewhere in Pennsylvania.
Kutztown. Yeah, what the hell is that?
It's north of Philadelphia. It looks like by a...
That place where...
A few hours.
Okay.
Outside from, right? Allentown, Pennsylvania. That's probably... It looks like the next major city.
Okay. I was just curious about that. I hadn't looked it up, but I had never even heard of the place.
It's about, it looks like 4 hours northwest of Philadelphia. And
yeah,
they also have a Chick-fil-A in Kutztown. So
that is good to know.
Well, that's good to know.
So
it's their most notable feature.
It might be.
Yeah.
Oh boy, I don't know anything. It was just I just will say one more thing about the Hard Knocks. Just the how the moods changed since episode one, when it was more of a frolic and it was fun and like, laughing. It took a real somber tone today.
Oh,
I mean, when as you're getting down toward the cuts here. And,
oh yeah,
you know, just the whole tone is like, it's so different now. So different.
Yeah, they cut about 30 guys off the roster. 30 guys lose their job. So,
yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's a little hard to be all like, you know, kumbaya guys that you're like about to tell their job is gone. That's got to be tough.
For sure. Yeah. All right. So, I think we're going to wrap it up here.
All right.
So, we have one more Hard Knocks episode, but really, then coming up, we have our season predictions. And then game one preview against the Eagles. That's where we're at.
Baby.
Is that part of the season?
Woohoo!
Oh,
it's coming. Drink the Kool-Aid, people. Drink the Kool-Aid.
It's here. So Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts. Posting on there. So thoughts on the roster cuts. What do you think of the Lions roster as it stands coming in this season? Get all your thoughts. Again, that's at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid on Instagram and at Drinking Lions on Twitter. Thank you to SidelineReport.com for hosting the podcast. In addition, so you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get the podcast. We really appreciate that. And thank you to our producer, Kid J.
Kid J, we love you, buddy.
So a lot of exciting stuff, but preseason is over, that nonsense, and now we can get to the real stuff.
Oh yeah,
predictions. Woo. And you know, real games, real stakes.
Oh yeah, the rubber hits the road.
Yep. We got Labor Day this weekend, so if you're out there traveling this weekend, please be safe. We want you around, you know, for a long time. So be safe. And have fun by yourself.
All right. Thanks for that public service announcement. Yeah. Thanks, Jay. We appreciate it.
All right.
And on that note.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. And and last but not least, as always, go.
Lions.
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Go.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.